Welcome back. Mexico's newly elected president, Enrique Peña Nieto, has promised to cut in half the number of kidnappings and murders caused by his country's drug wars. But he didn't offer any specific strategy to stop the violence that's killed more than 47,000 people since late 2006. Further north in California, the LA Times recently wrote about a new breed of marijuana cultivator, the Master Grower, producing sophisticated new varieties with scientific precision and assembly line efficiency. Well, author Don Winslow combines these two storylines, and we want to spend a few minutes with him today. His 2010 bestseller, Savages, tells of 20-somethings Ben Chan and their shared girlfriend, O, for Ophelia. They run a multi-million-dollar marijuana business in Laguna Beach, California. Picture the offices of Facebook or Google, racing bikes hanging next to fancy computers, sparkling waves crashing against beachfront offices. Only the product they sell is dope. They've paid off a DEA agent. They're sitting pretty. Until a vicious Mexican drug cartel decides it wants a piece of their action and makes them a deal. Savages has now been made into a film by Oliver Stone. In this scene, Ben and Chan's paid-off DEA agent Dennis, played by John Travolta, tells them to take the deal, even if they don't want to support the cartel and they don't like the low offer.
Welcome to the recession, boys. You should be grateful you still have a product people want.
So you don't mind if your envelope gets a little thinner then?
Oh, you guys, you know, you have a clean business, there's no problems, but there ain't no Ben and Chan without Dennis. So my envelope stays the same. Just a matter of time, guys, before they legalize it. I mean, I'd take the deal instead of decapitation.
But Ben and Chan, played by Aaron Johnson and Taylor Kitsch, choose to fight. Big mistake. The cartel kidnaps O, and the sunny California scenes are soon drenched in blood. Author Don Winslow co-wrote the screenplay for the film Savages. He also just published a prequel to Savages. It's called The Kings of Cool. To answer the question, where did these characters come from? The answer is, in part, they are two generations removed from flower children of the 60s. Don Winslow joins us from KPBS in San Diego. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
In general, I mean, I kept hearing your lines jump off the screen, but what did you think of seeing them on the screen?
You know, listen, I think it's a good film. I think there are terrific performances. You know, it's the first of my books to be on the big screen, so it's pretty trippy to sit there and, you know, something that was a little idea in your head just a couple of years ago is now kind of up there and 30 feet large and colorful and moving.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and much of that's colorful and moving and large is violent, you know? I have to say I'm a Masterpiece Theater kind of gal, and I love the book. And yet to see things like, well, there's a video that the cartel sends to the boys early on, and it shows these beheaded Mexicans as sort of as a threat, you know, take our deal or face decapitation. That's tough to see.
It was tough to see when the video was sent to me. That's a true story.
What?
And, yeah, that was one of the genesis points of Savages, is that was a video clip that I saw. Over the internet and sent via email. And so, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep up with reality.
Well, why were you being sent that video or seeing that video? Maybe this backs us up into, you know, who you are. You were a private detective. Was this in the line of your work that you saw that?
It wasn't. You know, years ago I did a book called The Power of the Dog, which is sort of a tome, a rather long book that traces the evolution of the Mexican cartels. And so that was a 6-year project, I suppose. And a lot of research, and I guess people thought I'd be interested in seeing that clip.
Oh, man. Well, so we were going to ask, how much else is in this film, this beautiful portrayal of this drug industry in California, which, as I said, is sort of hip and fun and young people and clean, as the John Travolta character says. They're waiting for it to be legal. How much of that is real?
It's all real. You know, we did a lot of research. I did a lot of research for the book. The film people did a lot of research for the film. And I think it's a very accurate reflection of that culture and that economy.
How would you describe them?
You know, they're interesting guys. I mean, some of them are like Top Chef. Do you know what I mean? They all have their favorite recipes and they think everyone else's recipes aren't any good, you know? And so they're kind of prima donnas. But I think they're people who think that they have a legitimate product to sell. And they're trying to make it the best product that they can make it.
Well, so you have research on the California end. You have research on the Mexican drug cartel that comes over. It's hip and disturbing. You know, it's all mixed into one. What else did you want us to know about these particular three young people that made you write the prequel?
You know, I wanted to write a story about families. I wanted to write an origin story. And you know, these three young people in California have formed their own family at the beginning of Kings of Cool. And then they come into conflict, and they're into this impossible choice that they have to make between their biological family, their blood family, and the family that they've created. And that, I think, is an extremely difficult choice to make. And that's really what I wanted to write about.
Well, and tell us more about the biological families. These kids who are now dealing in dope and living ménage à trois, very much in love, all three with each other, came from what culture?
It came from the Southern California counterculture, you know, beginning in the early 60s. And you had the hippies come down from San Francisco, believe it or not, in search of cheaper rents than were in Haight-Ashbury, and settled in Laguna Beach. And some of them get into the dope business. As a matter of fact, in order to build a bookstore, they smuggle in marijuana from Mexico, and then it keeps going from there. So you have, you know, one character literally as a little girl living in a cave and deciding that that lifestyle is not going to be for her. She's going to go in the complete opposite direction to become, you know, the Orange County queen.
That little girl is the mother of O. So while mom lives in a gated community, it skips a generation and her daughter becomes the flower child.
You know, I think we all react, don't we, to the way we were brought up. And we either, I think, go with it or we go against it or some combination thereof. But O certainly goes against it.
What are you saying, though, about those Southern California hippies of the 60s and what they begat?
You know, I think the book Kings of Cool is largely about innocence and idealism turning into cynicism and communes turning into condos, you know. And so I wanted to trace that evolution, you know, from the 60s to the present, and also take a look at how the evolution of the drug trade really matched all of those sort of national moods and national aspirations.
Don Winslow, his new book, The Kings of Cool, his prequel to the best-selling 2010 novel Savages. Stephen King called it a revelation. The New York Times' Janet Maslin called Savages ferocious storytelling. It's often written like a series of tweets. Now Oliver Stone has taken the book to the big screen. It opens tomorrow. If some of the scenes are stomach-churning, Don says that's life. More on that when we come back, Here and Now. It's Here and Now, and we're picking up our conversation with Don Winslow, who's drawn from the headlines to write two books, the 2010 bestseller Savages, which is coming to the big screen tomorrow, and the new prequel to Savages, The Kings of Cool. Winslow tells of vicious Mexican cartels who make decapitation snuff films to post on the internet, who torture with medieval brutality. He says as gruesome as these scenes are, they reflect reality. Here's a news clip from an ABC report. Host Brian Ross setting up a tape of a drug dealer. It's a scene that could come right off a page written by Don Winslow.
Neighbors in this quiet Phoenix community had no idea what was happening inside this house, where drug dealer Ron Guilford was trying to collect a ransom of $2,500 from a rival.
I have dude in my bathtub right now, okay? I have him duct taped. I'm about to cut his hand off. Which hand would you like? Left or right hand? The left or right hand? Pick one.
According to ABC News, police rescued that man just in time. But what happens in Don Winslow's books when this violence begins to seep into what's estimated to be a $3 to $5 billion high-end marijuana industry in sunny California? The LA Times recently profiled a grower who voted Republican and ran corporate seminars until he switched to growing. Don Winslow has created two characters, Ben and Chan. Chan fought in Afghanistan and brought back primo seeds. Ben is a botanist who cultivated them. They've made millions. But since Ben is also a philanthropist, traveling the world to bring water projects to poor villages, they don't have enough money to spring their girlfriend, O, when she's kidnapped by the cartel. So they become increasingly violent. In this scene, accosting their DEA agent, played by John Travolta, to get him to give up information on the cartel, which he also works for. Let's just say Chan has a knife, and the DEA agent's hand is not spared.
Dennis, we need your files on the Bajar cartel.
Have a nice day.
Dennis, you step out that car. I'm coming down to San Diego to introduce myself to your district supervisor. You're gonna have a hard time explaining $500,000 parked in the Cook Islands when you clear 110 after taxes. Names, history, stash
houses.
That
ain't part of the deal, buddy boy.
It is now.
It don't work that way.
We're running out of time, Dennis. You have to step up right now.
You know what?
I'm out of here. What the hell are you doing?
Get your car. Get your car, girl. And I will do anything, anything to get her back. Do you understand me?
Don Winslow, you've said these 20-somethings you've created are the grandchildren of drug dealers in the 60s, and they seem to represent two paths one could take from the 60s. Chan has become hardened, disappointed, wary, although he has a heart of gold. Ben is still the flower child. He'd love to get out of the marijuana business, but he can't because the cartel wants his expertise.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben is the idealist and a little bit of a throwback, I think, to the 60s. And he makes a lot of money in a hurry, and then he realizes that he wants to do something good with it and do something real with it. And, other things, obviously get in the way.
It's interesting. It could be seen as a commentary on the 60s counterculture and how forces might corrupt it. But it also seemed, just seeing it straight ahead as a commentary about today, I kept slipping back into seeing, as I said, Facebook and Google or Wall Street.
Yeah. One thing I was trying to get at with both Savages and the Kings of Cool was kind of the fractured way we get our information these days. It used to be we sat down and read a book or an entire magazine article or watched a documentary, listened to a radio show. Now it seems it's all coming multimedia from multi-directions all at once. I sometimes wonder, the more technology that we have to communicate, the less we actually do it. Now we're into Twitter, where we have 140, not words, but characters to communicate with each other. But I also think it's about independent business versus big business. They are making buckets of money, but they're a small business. I mean, Ben arranges for health care for his employees.
Well, yeah, you're right. They're about to have a takeover by a Mexican cartel, a hostile takeover.
A literally hostile, very, very hostile takeover. Yeah. The little guy, the independent operator versus the machine.
When I first heard about the books, I didn't want to like these three characters. It's like, I don't want to romanticize this. I just ended up liking them so much. Why do you think that is, that they end up being so likable?
I never cared if people liked Ben and Sean and O. I did want the reader to understand them and to go on a trip with them. But I think at the end of the day, they are pretty likable characters. They are, in their own way, trying to do the right thing according to their own lights.
It's so interesting to read that you were a private detective and used to sit in your car as a PI and read Chandler, Hammett, and Elmore Leonard, sitting on stakeouts. Here you are. How did this happen for you? Some have said that you just, and I think you've said, you told Charles McGrath, I think, in the Times, that you just decided to throw it out there for Savages. What were you thinking? Were you, what were you thinking? I've got to do something to get attention, or what were you thinking?
I think what I was thinking was that I just wanted to throw my elbows a little bit. It seems that there are so many rules and definitions that have come into the crime genre, a genre, as you said, that I deeply love. And those rules seem to be squeezing us the writer, into a just tighter and tighter space all the time.
Rules like what? Because I don't really know the genre as well, maybe. What rules like what?
Well, people have broken the genre into subgenre. First it was hard-boiled, soft-boiled, and then it's procedural versus thriller versus mystery versus this versus that, each one with its own rules. For instance, if you're writing a thriller, you're supposed to have your character in mortal jeopardy on page one. Says who? Who wrote these rules? And even if I find out who wrote them, why should I obey them? And so I sat down to write Savages in a pretty snarky mood, I think, I'd have to confess.
Well, you think so? Your page one was two words, and as someone said, they weren't thank you, they were something else you, and that was the whole chapter.
That was the whole chapter. And I didn't know what the book was when I typed that, by the way. And then I thought, well, okay, you've done that. Now, so what? What about it? And then all of a sudden, I'm writing from the point of view of a 20-something Orange County slacker woman with more money than things to do, looking at her boyfriend, watching a video clip on the computer. I don't really know where that came from. But I did know that I wanted to try to break some of the limits of the genre and see if I could do something new. And part of it, really, Robin, was just stubbornness. I just wanted to write a book the way that I heard it in my head and then let the chips fall where they may.
Well, you know, I said that I resisted it a little at first because I didn't want to romanticize this. It's just such an ugly, ugly thing, the viciousness of the drug cartels. Do you worry that between the book and the movie it might? Or do you think there are kids going to be flocking to Southern California to get in on this? Or do you think it'll scare them away?
I think it's kind of scary, you know. Yeah. I mean, look, I think you have to make some tough choices when you write about this world. Or when you film this world. You know, it's funny. When I finished writing the book I alluded to earlier, The Power of the Dog, I thought I'd written about the worst of the worst. 5 years go by, 50,000 more deaths in Mexico due to the drug wars, and things kept getting worse. And so I think you need to make a decision. Do you sanitize that violence in your style? I think that has dangers of its own, by the way. Or do you write it tough and realistic and let people see it for what it is? I made the latter choice.
That's best-selling author Don Winslow. The books we're talking about, Savages, and the new The Kings of Cool, a prequel to Savages. The film of Savages, directed by Oliver Stone, opens tomorrow. Don Winslow, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And by the way, he mentioned The Power of the Dogs. That's Don's book about Mexican cartels. And by the way, the reviews of the film of Savages are just coming in. Entertainment Weekly gives it a B+. Owen Gleiberman says, Savages is Oliver Stone doing what he should have done a long time ago, making a tricky, amoral, down-and-dirty crime thriller that's blessedly free of any social, topical, or political relevance. So if that's your thing, it's opening tomorrow. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.